It is the hour of the time. I'm William Cooper. Tonight, folks, our guest is a listener just like all of you. She has a story to tell that, while it begins very, very sad, while she becomes lost in her life and then finally finds this program, the hour of the time, you're going to hear, ladies and gentlemen, an uplifting, very rewarding ending to this story. And it will prove that God does indeed work in very mysterious ways. Stay tuned.
To welcome you to the hour of the time, and I'd like to start off with you giving us a little of your history. Tell us what you've been doing for most of your life, and how we got up to this point.
Okay, I was raised as a child in the Lutheran Church, and for years, my family had been one of the pillars within our church. We always sat in the front row, and we were there every Sunday, and my grandparents were teachers in the Sunday schools, and we were there every week. And at some point, I would say in my teenage years, I became disillusioned with the church and felt that God was somehow dead to me within this church. And I started feeling uncomfortable and wanting to know about God, more about God, and I really wanted to serve God. And at one point, I went to my minister and I told him, I said, I want to serve God, and is there a way for me to become a nun or to give my life to the church so that I can serve? And he really didn't answer me. And he really did not give me any concrete answer or any direction, and I felt sort of left out in the open, and I just walked away wondering why he didn't give me any encouragement. So at that time, in the town that I lived in a university town where there was a lot of revolutionary activity during the 70s on our campus, and a lot of people were coming into our town with revolutionary ideas, and there was talk about young people being disillusioned with the government, and so many different types of people were coming into our town. And at one time, a group came into our town that were a group of people who were dressed like Amish men and women. And they had a band that played sort of rock Christian music, and they held meetings on Sundays in the bar in the town that I lived in. And so I was attracted to this, and my boyfriend and I went. And it was a Christian group who was talking about being born again, which I had never really heard about in the Lutheran church. And as they were talking, there was a power, an electricity that came down in the room at that time. And I saw many young people being dedicated to Christ, being healed. I saw things that I'd never seen before, such as speaking in tongues and prophecies. And I was truly touched and intrigued by that. Because I felt something, I wanted to dedicate my life to Jesus also, and so did my boyfriend at that time, who was using drugs, and I truly wanted to help him and help him find a way to stop that, because I didn't do that. And we both dedicated our lives to Jesus and became affiliated with this church. And we were married in this group. The minister was a man who was very charismatic, had the ability to look at you and tell you what you were thinking. He knew the Bible was, I would guess you would call him Pentecostal, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost type of preaching. And so we moved in with these group of people. They had a self-sufficient farm of about 100 acres. We had our own over 100 head of Charolais cows, Black Angus. We had some of the best lines of Morgan horses in the country. We had our own school system. We raised all of our crops. We canned. We spent all of our time pooling our money together. We lived in a commune situation with probably 30 other people. We were under the belief system that we were God's chosen people, and that there was going to be a war in this country, and that we should start preparing to save ourselves. And through various prophecies that came through, we were led in that direction to start preparing for this war. So we were training in the martial arts and storing guns, and sounds sort of familiar in light of what has happened with Waco, but this is the type of life that I lived in for 7 years. And looking back in retrospect, I can tell you that living in those circumstances were not freedom, and I feel that we were truly brainwashed. Under those under those circumstances, and I saw many people come into the group and leave the group for various reasons, but I feel that I was lucky to come out of the situation alive, because there were things that were going on within this activity that were not truly Christian. After being involved within this activity for 7 years, my husband and I gave all of our time, all of our money, all of our energy. We had two children that were born at that time while we were living on the farm. Things seemed to start happening that didn't seem right to me. But in living within this type of circumstance, a situation is created where when a person becomes brainwashed, they can't think outside of a certain sphere. We were not privy to magazines and television and TV, and so an artificial society was created around us, and we didn't think or go beyond the limits of that society. little things started to happen, and I became more and more discontent. And finally, a situation was set up within this group where the minister had tremendous power, and they set up a circumstance and told the whole church that I was involved in something that I truly had not done, and I was more or less convicted before the whole church and punished for it, and I was not able to defend myself, but I was literally horsewhipped with a horsewhip 125 times for something that I did not do. That sort of woke me up as to what was happening. And shortly after that, my husband's mother became very ill, and they stood both of us up in a meeting and told us that we were being rebellious and that God was going to punish us for our rebellious ways because they suspected us of becoming uncomfortable with the teaching. And they told us that since we were rebellious and had the sin of pride, God was going to punish us. And shortly thereafter, a few days later, my husband became very ill with hepatitis, and he almost died from that. With that, he went into the hospital with his illness. He went into the hospital, and I was able to move my children and myself into my husband's father's home. A few days later, his mother died. All of these things happened within a week, all of our chastisement. I guess it was a blessing in disguise all of these things happened because that's how we got away. Eventually, we met up with other people who had left the group, and they told us what had happened to them. We shared experiences. It just was an incredible revelation when the light bulb finally went off in my head and I understood what truly happened. And literally, I felt that a light went over my head and I understood, and my eyes were opened, and it was truly revealed to me how we were living under a false doctrine for 7 years, and that we were truly trying to dedicate our lives to God but ended up serving only man. When I realized that, I became angry with God, and for several years didn't want to have anything to do with Christianity at all. I would look at the Bible and just become angry at seeing a Bible or see an evangelist on TV and just be consumed with anger. I was mad at God. Ultimately, my husband and I were divorced, and I moved to another city and was trying to get my life back in order, and I became very depressed. And I said, God, if you're really real, I want you to prove it to me because I just can't take it anymore. I don't believe in you, but I want to die. And at that time, something happened to me while I was sleeping, and I felt that some truths have been revealed to me about God on a different level. I felt that I had been taken to a beautiful place and shown peace and love and harmony, and somehow that pulled me through this depression. But at that time, right after that, people started coming to me with books and information, a lot of things that I'd never heard of. I was given a book called the Urantia Book, which was a book that was supposed to have been written by angels. I came into contact with people who were involved with Edgar Cayce in the ARE, and I found that to be interesting, and I studied that for a while. I got involved in reading the works of Jung, Carl Jung, and was very interested in his philosophy about dreams. I was, from that point, involved with The Course in Miracles, and read that and participated in that. I came in contact with about every New Age group that came down the pike. And I think the thing that really, really got me full swing into the New Age movement was the fact that I realized at some point that I was I am truly a part of God, or that I am a God in embryo, that I am a God. And that's what got me involved more and more into the New Age belief.
Isn't that a wonderful enticement? I mean, everybody would certainly like to be a God or be God, wouldn't they?
Well, yes, and it was very enticing to me. And at that point, I let go of all my Christian teaching and my teaching, my background, which is in direct opposition to that teaching that I am a God. But that's the hook, because everyone wants to become perfect. And that's what I was striving to achieve with perfection. Ultimately, I ran into, or didn't run into, but met a woman by the name of Elizabeth Clare Prophet, who had come into our town and was teaching about the Ascended Masters. And it was quite interesting the way that I sort of got involved in all of this. Someone had sent me a letter anonymously in the mail and had signed it Saint Germain. And I never did find out who sent the letter to me, but it started me on a quest, a journey to find out who Saint Germain was. And when I had heard about Elizabeth Clare Prophet, I knew that she was involved with the Ascended Masters. And I met her and read some of her books and was very drawn to what her teachings were all about. She is the messenger for the Ascended Masters. And shortly thereafter, I ran into some other people who said, no, she is not who you should be listening to. She has, in fact, plagiarized most of her information from another group, from the teachings of a man named Guy W. Ballard, who had received the original instructions from Saint Germain. And she and her husband had one time been involved with that group and had taken the information to start her own group, which was Universal and Triumphant. Well, I didn't want secondhand information. I wanted the real truth, and became involved in a group that basically worships the Ascended Masters. And the idea is that we all will, if we want to, can achieve perfection through our ascension, and can even achieve the ascension through the original divine way without passing through the change called death.
In other words, they're telling you that you could ascend unto heaven like Christ was said to have done in the New Testament.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they were basically telling you that you too can become Jesus.
Yes. Jesus is an ascended master.
According to their teachings.
According to their teachings, yes. Mm-hmm. And there are many, many ascended masters. He is just one of the ascended masters. But it started bothering me after I had been involved for about 3 years. It started bothering me, and more so recently since my grandfather had passed away, and I had gone back to the church that I was baptized in. And something started to happen to me, and I started to investigate these feelings and allow them to come up and question in my mind, why isn't Jesus exalted? Why isn't Jesus' picture the only picture at the altar? These questions started to bother me, and I started to listen to the radio. I had started to search. I had even gone back and started looking at some of my old books by Madame Blavatsky and some of the esoteric and sort of very occult things that I had studied before.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing was giving me the answer. And I guess with this frustration that I was feeling in coming in contact with my family and my old church, it sort of spearheaded me to be more open about Christianity once again. Now, I was listening to your broadcast, I suppose around January, and I had very, very bad reception at that time. And at that time, you were teaching lessons on the mystery schools,
mm-hmm.
which intrigued me. And I thought you were teaching about, you know, how you can be involved in them, because I couldn't hear. I couldn't hear very well, and I was just getting bits and pieces. And then the station burned down, and I didn't hear anything anymore, and I couldn't figure out what in the world happened to the station. And it had been, I don't know how long, someone called me and said, well, they had a fire and they were burned out, and that was it. So a long time had elapsed, and then someone recently called me, maybe a month or so ago, and said, hey, the station's back on. So I tuned in, and the reception was much better. But this time I was able to hear. And you were talking about the Masons, and I have always been intrigued with the Masons. For some reason, I've always been intrigued with their symbolism. Anytime I met a man who was a Mason, I tried to ask questions. Of course, they wouldn't answer me. But I knew that there was a connection between Masonry and occultism and the New Age and some of the beliefs that I was practicing within my religion. And I couldn't quite put it together until last Thursday night when you had your program that was so important to you that it was a special broadcast. And that night I could not clearly hear, but all I really got from that was the connection that you made for me about Masonry is actually at the highest levels, at the highest degree, the worship of Lucifer, the worship of light.
That's correct.
And when I heard that, again, it was like something just revealing itself to me, that all the things that I have been living for the last 20 years has been a false doctrine. And I associated that to what I've been studying, what I've been teaching, what I've been decreeing for the last 3 years in the pursuit of perfection and perfecting myself as a human being so I can become a god and live forever and take our country. Because my group, this group is very, very patriotic. But it's so slick. It's so hard for the average person to discern between light and darkness.
Mm-hmm.
It's the double-edged sword. It's so difficult for people to understand truly what is truth and what isn't today because they are run so closely together. But I feel that in listening to you, in listening to your talk with Tex Mars and in reading some books by Ralph Epperson, I feel truly grateful that I feel now that I understand that I was wrong. That I feel that thousands and thousands of people who have been discouraged with the Christian church and led into occultism and spiritism and New Age teaching and all the occultisms that are out there, and there are many, it's extremely dangerous. And somehow these people have to understand that there is a right and there is a wrong, and that there is black and there is white. And it goes back to our Christian teaching, what the Bible says, and that Jesus is the way.
And that it is the narrow way.
And it's the narrow way.
That's correct. You know, Maria, this is wonderful. I have never laid eyes on you, I don't believe. If I have, I certainly don't remember. And I don't even know when it could have happened, if it ever happened. But how did I come to know about you?
Well, I was so overwhelmed and so grateful in my heart after hearing your broadcast that I called, and I just wanted to let you know that I was appreciative of what I heard and what you've done. And I would assume that there are many people who are listening to you, and I don't know very much of your background either, but I assume that you've probably had some experience along the line of being involved with occult things of some nature, because you're very, very well versed in everything that I've heard you say. And I would think that there are many people listening to you who probably have similar experience to mine, who are saying, my God, this is me. And so that's why I called you, to let you know that I'm out here. And if I'm out here, there are a lot of other people just like me in the same boat.
In actuality, you didn't really call me. You called the hotline.
Yes.
And in the normal process of checking for messages, I heard your message that you left, and I was touched by that message. I returned your call, and we began to talk, and I realized that there are so many people out there who are or have been or will be in the same position that you've been for many years, and maybe aren't listening to this show, or maybe are listening to this show and haven't made that connection. Maybe they just started listening and haven't heard the series that we did on the mystery schools. Maybe they don't make the connection in the way that these organizations disempower people and actually make them weak and helpless, so that they can't make any connections. A lot of people are in a position now because of what they're being taught in some of these occult organizations to where they couldn't make a connection if they wanted to, because basically they're being taught not to think or listen to anything else other than the doctrine that they're being taught.
Exactly.
And how can you talk about that? Can you tell the audience, the listening audience out there, how they made you feel and how they took your power away from you and how you were able to get it back? Because I think that's important.
Well, I think that by, number one, by keeping information secret, there seems to be a great power in that. The group that I was involved in, really, now that I think about it, a lot of the information was marked at the bottom. This is not for publication. This is not to be given to anyone. So you are almost led to feel that you are very special and elite to be involved with such an activity, that they have raised your sense of worth because you have the inner secrets. It's a deception. It truly is deceptive.
Did you ever, during any of that time, ever learn anything that was truly secret? Did you ever learn any great truths at all?
Well, I guess nothing that would be considered so important that it would be worthy of living or dying for. I don't know. That's an interesting question. I don't think so.
Go ahead.
A lot of information, this occult stuff, is just old information that maybe people have never talked about or heard in this day and age. But for some reason, there's interest in that, in alchemy or in just about the different spiritual rays or about the different forces of nature. And these types of things aren't common knowledge, aren't spoken of every day on the street.
Mm-hmm.
There's something empowering about having knowledge that no one else has.
Well, I think it's the same, Maria, I think it's the same feeling that people have when they learn a secret about their neighbor and they go to a club meeting and they know this secret and they can then tell someone else, and that's what we call gossip. And I think that's where perpetuates gossip in a neighborhood or in a group or amongst a circle of people. But it's always been the quest of man not realizing that the empowerment is within him or herself to look for someone else to tell them the truth or teach them some great teaching, and then it's something that's kept within this tight little circle. And that's one of the powerful holds over people of these secret societies, is that one then feels above everyone else. And everyone else begins to lose stature in the eyes of the elect, quote unquote. And until they get to the point where at the very top, they consider anyone who is not a member of their group, who does not possess this arcane knowledge, to be no better than animals, to be cattle, to be sheep, and they're to be fleeced and slaughtered when necessary.
Isn't this absolutely amazing, folks? It's time for our break. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this very short pause. You know, folks, this program, this one broadcast, is probably the happiest, most fulfilling broadcast that I've ever done. Now, I know and you know that in the future, our life is not going to be so fulfilling. We're facing tremendous economic hardships in the near future. You owe your family and, of course, yourself the obligation of looking into ways to protect your economic financial future. Why don't you call Swiss America Trading right now? It doesn't cost you a thing for the call. You're going to get two free reports. One's a report, actually. One's a newsletter. Chock full of information that you absolutely must have. You need to know these facts to help you make decisions for your family in the upcoming weeks and months. Call Swiss America Trading right now, 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. For the first 200 callers, you'll receive Harry Figge's report entitled Tackle the Debt. So call now, 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Begin now preparing the protection that you're going to need in the coming months and years. While you're at it, folks, mention my name, William Cooper, and you'll receive a free newsletter on protecting your future. Call now, 1-800-289-2646. Do it right now. Don't procrastinate. Call 1-800-289-2646. By protecting your future, you're also protecting the future of this broadcast, the hour of the time, and, of course, freedom for the world. Call now, 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646, and you'll be glad that you did.
One of the statements that they made in one of their technical manuals for the enslavement of this country was that a nation or world of people who will not use their intelligence are no better than animals who do not have intelligence. Such people are beasts of burden and stakes on the table by choice and consent. What does that make you feel like?
It makes me angry. I tell you, the thing that really, now that I think back in some of the things that I heard you say, was that, you know, we really don't need leaders. We need to stand on our own two feet and think for ourselves.
That's right.
People have become lazy. People have given their power over to leaders who direct them always down the wrong path. And that's what I have done with my life. Instead of examining the word for myself, examining doctrine, I gave that power to someone else. And now that I think back, it's unbelievable to me that I could have just given over my Christian teaching and values to a doctrine or a belief system that was totally contrary to the way I was brought up and how I fell into it so quickly. But that's the way it happened. And I feel angry that I have lost. And at one point, when I became involved with this teaching, this esoteric teaching about the masters, I felt I've made it. Now I have all the knowledge that I need. I know I have made it spiritually. I can become as a god. I can perfect myself. I can go on with the help of the masters, and I can become perfected. And you know, it was deception and delusion on my part.
Now, aside from what they taught you, did you ever know anybody who ascended or actually became a god?
No.
And did you ever know anybody who said that they knew somebody who had actually ascended or become a god?
Well, only one person had really ever made that ascension, and that man's name was David Lloyd.
And this is what they taught you?
Yeah.
Okay. And but was there any proof of that? I mean, do you know anyone who went to see if David Lloyd really lived, or if there was a death certificate for David Lloyd, or if there's a tombstone in some cemetery somewhere where his body is buried?
It's more of a legend, from my knowledge. He supposedly went up on a mountain with a man who was going to assist him.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go to a certain point on the mountain, you have to sign a book with a ranger. And he signed in, but he never signed out. And that is the legend, or that is...
That's the origin of the legend?
That's the origin of it, yeah.
You know, this supposedly occurred at Mount Shasta?
Yeah.
Well, I've been up to Mount Shasta, and I heard all these stories from everyone, so I went to look for myself, and I heard about these tunnel entrances to an underground city where the ascended masters lived, and some other people said that there was a Lemurian city under there, and some people said that at certain parts of the mountain UFOs entered and exited, and so I went there and I found these people who said that they knew where these places were, and in every instance I asked them to take me there and show me, and all of them refused. And they refused simply because they couldn't. There are no entrances. There are no places where UFOs fly in and out. There are no secret staircases that go into underground cities where Lemurians live or ascended masters live. And it would be, I'll tell you right now, it would be a very simple procedure for anyone to climb up the mountain, sign the book, and go down the other side where no one is watching. But I understand how these legends develop, and I understand how easy it is for people to fall into these things, because the promises you get if you study the doctrine and if you perform the ceremonies and maintain the purity of the teachings are tremendously attractive, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Yes, they are, truly. And the ceremonies are beautiful. And the temples are beautiful, and there's a sense of of patriotism and nobility, and there's a solemnness that goes along with it that is truly beautiful. And there is, and there would be times when I would sit in the temple, and there would be truly what I felt so much light emitting from the front of this temple. Now, I can't explain that.
Was this something that you felt, or was it truly light that you were seeing?
I felt that at sometimes there was a radiation that came forth that was so strong, and I had heard other people talk about it also.
Mm-hmm. Where did you feel this?
Where did I feel it?
Mm-hmm.
When I was sitting in within the worship service, and this light would emanate, and sometimes it would just feel like there was so much of a light radiation and emanence that you almost couldn't see anything else in the room.
Maria, was this a feeling, or were you actually seeing light? Were you feeling this within your body, or were you actually seeing light?
I felt that I was actually seeing light.
Okay. Did you investigate to see if there was some kind of a trickery involved, or maybe there were some bright lights that were being shined at you?
No, I never investigated, but that would be an interesting thing to look into. But I had heard other people say the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Did you know that there are places in the New Age community, so to speak, where people can go and sit on a rock, and a photographer can take their picture, and you'll see all these, when the film is developed and printed, you'll see all these light rays emanating from the person. Have you ever seen photographs like that?
Yes, I've seen that.
I have a degree in photography, and I'll just kind of explain to you how easy it is to trick people. You see, there's certain times of the day, and those are the only certain times of the day, that these photographers will take those photographs of these people sitting on certain rocks in certain areas where they're supposed to be vortexes or are sacred places in the New Age movement. And that's because the sun has to be at a particular angle in the sky to the lens of the camera while the camera is pointed at the person on the rock. And what you're actually seeing in these photographs is not light emanating from the person sitting on the rock, but is, in effect, sun flares in the lens, caused by, usually the better the lens, the less the flare will be. So if you want a greater ray of light coming from the person sitting on the rock, you would use a cheaper lens. And if you want less of this flare effect, you would use a more expensive and better optics in the lens. People who understand photography can look at these photographs and know right away that this is not what it's purported to be. But there are many, many thousands of people who are fooled by this, and they believe that they went and sat on the rock and had some kind of a mystical religious experience that is revealed in these photographs. And, of course, they take this home and they mount it and they put it on their mantle or their little altar at home, which are in many New Age homes, they have a small altar with the different occult symbols and figures, and depends upon what organizations they belong to and which teacher they follow as to what will be in this little edifice, but you can usually find them. I know an awful lot of people who are caught up in this, and they're good friends, and they're really good people. And they are so lost in this, and everything that they do is discussed as if it's spiritual, but it's always material. And to keep from having to admit that something that they're doing is not as real as they perceive it to be, they perpetuate the myth and sometimes even make up new myths so that they don't have to fall back on reality. This is a great escape from reality, isn't it?
It sure is.
And people are... Were you taught the doctrine not to be negative?
Oh, yes.
And to be negative was a terrible, terrible thing. And what are some of the things that they consider to be negative?
Oh, gosh. Any form of negative thinking. You weren't supposed to talk about the news or things that were happening, current events. Those things weren't supposed to be discussed.
What about problems? Were you allowed to call attention to problems or obvious discrepancies within the group?
No, you were not supposed to focus on that, because whatever you focused on would
It's negative.
We create more of it.
Yeah, negativity creates negativity is what they tell you. So that problems, instead of being solved, never even get recognized to begin with.
Exactly. Exactly. I think another thing that was interesting about this particular group was the idea of the perfection of the body, and the purification was strongly emphasized, which would include the fact that everyone was a vegetarian, which mm-hmm. has benefit health, you know, obviously positive benefits to that. Everyone was, people were not involved in the sexual activity because that would lower the vibration of the individual. There was, of course, no drinking and no drugs and no smoking of cigarettes, but the whole idea of the perfection and the purification of the body so that the individual could be raised more quickly.
Do you understand where that comes from?
Excuse me?
Do you understand where that philosophy comes from? That the body is the temple?
Yes.
And since the body is the temple and is the seat of the intellect, which is the real object of worship, the soul, the seat of intellect, resides in the body. And this is the Godhead. And the temple must be made pure and kept pure, or you cannot become God. This permeates all of the teachings of all of these people, and it is, in fact, the Luciferian philosophy. It is the promise of Lucifer to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden that God had lied to them, and if they eat of the tree, of the fruit of the tree of knowledge, then they will not surely die, but shall become as gods. And the body is the temple wherein God is residing. Therefore, the temple must be kept pure. Did you recognize this any time that you were involved in these groups? Did you understand what the Luciferian philosophy was?
No.
When did you come to understand that?
Not until you talked about what you just said about Lucifer being thrown out of heaven as a fallen angel, and when his name was changed to Satan in the Garden of Eden, and he tempted Adam and Eve to partake of the tree of knowledge. And that's when they became enlightened.
And this whole story is in the book of Genesis, and people read it and they just gloss over that part. They don't really understand it. They don't really realize what was happening there. And everybody knows about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and eating of the fruit of the tree of knowledge, but they don't understand that the whole fall of man was in believing the promise that Satan made to Adam and Eve, that they shall become as God. And the real blasphemy is to stand and say, I am God, and mean it. You can do as I have just done and mean it as an example. But like Shirley MacLaine running on the beach, yelling into the air, I am God. That's the true blasphemy. That's the true fall of man. That is the true mistake that man has made and has put him in this position. For those who truly believe that, live for today. Now, if you really want to get a concept of what I'm talking about, listen to John Lennon's song entitled Imagine. Listen to the lyrics, not the music. The music was designed to be beautiful and trap so many young people while they're listening to this beautiful music and listening to these words, which they didn't understand. They were indoctrinated into the Luciferian philosophy and the tenets of socialism. And that probably has more to do with John Lennon's death than anything else. And I have no idea who did it or anything. I just believe that probably is what ultimately led to his assassination. I'm going to reveal something else here to everybody's wondering about this society that George Bush belonged to, and not just George Bush, but many, many people who are running our government and nation and society and military, I might add, who belong to the Skull and Bones, also known as the Russell Trust, also known as the Crypt at Yale University. Their symbol is the Skull and Bones, and right underneath the Skull and Bones is 322. 3:22. And everybody wonders what that means. It is the embodiment in numbers of the Luciferian philosophy. And if you go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 22, and read that, you will then understand what 3:22 means and what the Skull and Bones is all about and who George Bush and all of his cohorts really are. And I recommend that you all do that. And I recommend that you all go back and read the story of Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis and the fall of man. It has nothing to do with sexual intercourse. It has nothing to do with all of the things that so many people have thought all this time. It has something to do with disobeying God's law and believing the promise of Satan that man himself will become God. And you found that out. And I am so thrilled, Maria. I cannot tell you how thrilled I am and how good I feel inside that you discovered this link by listening to this program. I said for many years, if I could just help one person, if I could just get one person out of the fantasy and into the reality of the real world and show them the truth, then I would have accomplished all that my life has been for. And your call and your story is the fulfillment of that dream for me, for no one else has ever come to me and told me that I have led them out of what they thought was the light, was really the darkness, into what they call the darkness, which is really the light. For Jesus said, I am the light. And there is no other light. Remember, Satan is the great deceiver. And I want to thank you for bringing me that fulfillment of everything that I've been trying to do in my life.
Well, thank you for your dedication and your study and your not having fear to stand up and tell the truth. And I thank God that I have been given the chance to come back. And my mind was open and my heart was open. And that we do have access to people who are out there with the truth and aren't afraid to reveal it. So thank you, and God bless you.
Well, God bless you, too. And I want to thank you for having the courage, because it took a lot of courage for you to come on the show and tell your story. And I understand that full well. The first time I ever was a guest on a radio show, Maria, I literally was a nervous wreck. And it was a wonder that I could talk at all. And it took a lot of repeated being a guest on radio shows to feel comfortable and confident and be able to express what I feel. You did wonderfully, much better than I ever did, I can assure you. And you did much better than I did, even as a host of my own show. You are wonderful, and I thank you very much. And ladies and gentlemen out there, I hope you've, if you're in the same situation that Maria has been in, or you're contemplating it, or you've just come out of it, I hope you listened to this show with your heart. I hope you heard from the depth of this young woman what has happened to her and what could happen to you and what the answer really is. Remember, the purpose of the show is to wake the sheeple, empower the people, and save freedom. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, and nothing else can ever do it, no matter what the promise is, no matter how enticing it is. Nothing else can do it.
Well, I don't know about you folks, but this has been quite an hour for me. I have probably enjoyed making this 1 hour more than any other hour of this broadcast that I have ever made. Of course, I understand that somewhere along the line, I made an hour of the time that was as important or more important than this hour, because it made this hour possible. To Maria, I would like to say, you are no longer alone, and you will never again in your life ever be alone. To all of you out there, I want to thank you for listening, for your concern, for your letters, for the messages that you leave on the hotline, and I hope that you too are gaining some grain of truth from this broadcast, The Hour of the Time. Good night. God bless America, and God bless you all.